Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. I want to share with you real quick something that God brought to my spirit on Wednesday, and I shared it at the furnace there, and I've been praying about it ever since, because it's one of these things, it's a principle that is just loaded. There's certain things that when you hear it, it can go off in your spirit and it can ricochet for weeks. Has that ever happened to you? I was reading a book. In fact, we bought 100 copies as a result in the bookshop. We haven't released them yet for people, but it's a book called Consolidation. And it's one of the greatest books I've ever read in terms of how to establish. You know, there's a real gap in Christianity between winning somebody to Christ and then establishing them in Christ. And that process is what we call consolidation. And the book Consolidation out there explains a lot. And, you know, for about 6-7 weeks, I couldn't get past the first page. And all it says is, it mentions Jesus, you know, speaking in Matthew 28:19, go and make disciples of all nations. He said, so that he wrote that scripture. And then in this book, actually it's a woman, she says, there's two parts to this thing. There's the going and the making. And I stopped and I put the book down. And I said, wow. I said to myself, well, number one, where am I going? Number two, what am I making? Do you understand? That word ricocheted in my spirit for weeks and weeks and weeks. And it's amazing how God can do that. So turn to your neighbor and tell him, get ready for a ricochet word. There's certain things where God has created us. And in fact, as I was sitting there this morning, I remember my wife preaching last week on the power of declaration. You shall declare a thing, and it shall be established. Light will shine in your ways. And I was remembering that word. And I thought, wow, you know what? This thing that I'm about to share with you is born from declaration. Isn't it amazing that God designs us the way he himself works, to put it in a, you know, in its most kind of basic form? That he declares a thing and it's established. And then he says, son, you are in my image and after my likeness to such an extent that you can do the same. You can declare a thing and it will be established. Wow. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, open your big mouth. Yeah, I thank God. You know, there's certain nations that God has given them a big mouth. Do you know what I'm saying? There's big mouth nations. And,
Niger.
He said it. You see, I wasn't going to go there, but he said it. He's Nigerian. He's allowed. Praise God. But also America. America is a big mouth nation. Big mouth. God has given them a big mouth to open and declare things. And there's a connection, you see, between the size of your mouth and the size of your ministry. Yeah. There's a if you want your ministry to increase what's coming out of your mouth. Challenge everything to line up with the word of God. There's certain things, you know, that, well, we're so placid and we're so self-contained and we're so, you know, we've taught to keep our spirit in quietness and blah, blah, blah. And God sometimes just wants you to let loose. Turn to your neighbor, nudge your neighbor and tell him, let loose. Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. This thing struck me. This word struck me so big. Isaiah chapter 7. I really hope you catch this, because the way that the Lord spoke it to my spirit, he said, I want you to give birth to prophetic offspring. And when I heard that, I said, wow, God, you're going to give me that principle. I know it. There's a principle coming. When God gives you something that big, he then shows you, he gives you the instruction manual how to do it. And God can do that. God can cause something to come out of your mouth that can ricochet around the world. That's the kind of God we serve. He's always by my side. Where's Auntie Faith? She did such a great job on Friday. Praise God. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. May this word ricochet in you in the name of Jesus. Prophetic offspring. And I was thinking about the whole concept. And the thing that God brought to my remembrance was I heard the story of the All Night in Accra, in Ghana. There's this place called Baden-Powell Hall. It was it used to be a Scout Jubilee Hall or something like that. And there was All Night prayer meetings there every Friday. And in fact, it was Robert Ampiakwofi, Auntie Ruth's brother, who used to run those things. He was like the apostolic overseer of that. Prophet Nana was the prophet there. And people used to come by. And there's a pastor in Kilburn called Kofi Banful. He used to be the associate pastor at Victory Church. He was preaching over there in Accra one night. And God told him to bring a word called, "Why Stay Here Till We Die?" About the four lepers sitting outside Samaria, and you know, there's a famine, they're starving to death, and they're dying of leprosy at the same time. And they thought to themselves, you know what, like, if we surrender ourselves to the enemy, at least we're going to eat until we die. Why sit here till we die? So they crossed over, and he was talking about when you become desperate. Anyone here been desperate? My gosh, man. Sometimes, you know, it's a great place to be. Because the level of your desperation, then God can meet you there and suddenly, boom, like champagne, the cork comes off. It's like, wow. Yeah, has God ever put a hunger in you that you know only God can fulfill that hunger? And that's the kind of thing, you know, that's such a blessing sometimes. You reach that thing and you say, wait, why stay here till we die? At least let us do something. So anyway, Pastor Kofi is preaching this message. It's a banging message. And I might nick it one day, actually. Praise God, and just send Kofi an offering. Praise Jesus. And, you know, that thing happens in the body of Christ all the time. We just nick each other's messages. Well, it all comes from God anyway, doesn't it? Amen. So anyway, Kofi's preaching away. And at the back is a young guy, young, like late teens guy, no job, no prospects, anything like that, whose name is Bismarck. You know Prophet Bismarck? That word triggered a desperation on the inside of him. He went home and he told his mom, I don't think he was married back then, he told his mom, he said, Mom, he said, I need the prophetic anointing on my life. I'm going to do all night prayer until I get it. He prayed all night, every night, for 4.5 months. Now, that's some stretch for those of you who like prayer. I mean, wow. He prayed all night, every night, for 4.5 months, just eating minimum, sleeping minimum where he could, everything like that. And you know the level of accuracy on that guy's life is frightening. When we dedicated this building in 2008, he came over with Apostle Robert. And, I mean, he was giving people their phone numbers. He was, you know, telling them about things to come. You remember that? Yeah. Those of you that were there, it's unforgettable, right? I mean, that was like, boom, man. But where did it come from? It came from desperation, but it also came from a word that triggered that thing. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah, it says, the children gather sticks and the father kindles a fire. So there's a principle there that, you know, the sticks gather. Do you know what I mean by that on the inside of you? The sticks of desperation gather. And then God comes along with a box of matches and a can of petrol and boom, just sets you on fire. And it's like, wow, this is the thing I was after. This is what I was burning in me all the time. God can set fire to you where you sit. Isn't that wonderful? And sometimes, you see, sometimes the best stuff is born of that desperation. The things, I said it to, Kamau, it was your sister, Faith. I was having a chat with her. I was over in Kenya ministering with Pastor Dulkuma, and I met her. She was working in one of the hotels there doing hospitality and stuff. And I was saying to her, you know, asking her what's been happening, blah, blah, blah. And she said, Pastor, I'm so frustrated with these pastors over here. He said, they just look down on women. They tread women down, blah, blah, blah. And I said, honey, I said, all you are doing is you are listening to your own ministry. I said, you have a ministry to women to raise them up into their divine calling. Otherwise, you wouldn't feel that way. She'd heard radio preacher after radio preacher downing women, dissing women, you know, women should keep quiet in church, blah, 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 not rightly dividing the scriptures, just using an excuse for their misogyny. That's all it was. And it was like arrows on the inside of her. But you could get 10 women listening to the same message. 9 of them would be, huh, these guys, don't know what they're saying. But this one, it burned on the inside of her. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, sometimes your frustration is the key to your ministry. Yeah, and sometimes, you see, it just takes that trigger, that thing that just, you know, that thing, like, that there's certain people, they will see some pop concert or other, and it's like, it's, you know, whatever, they're all dancing to the devil's music or whatever, right? And it wouldn't bother 90 people. But there'll be one who says, God, I've got to rescue this generation. Father, use me to reach this generation. Use me to change lives and to shape destinies in my generation in Jesus' name. And they'll come and bow at the altar and pray and seek God until God births something on the inside of them. Isn't it amazing that you can birth something that's bigger than you? Amen. Yeah. You can give birth to something that's bigger than you. Look at my son. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. He's living proof that this word is true. Glory to God. So this is the thing, prophetic offspring. Because, you see, what we're going to see, this prophetic word that we're going to see coming out of the mouth of the prophet Isaiah was way bigger than him. Way bigger. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 1. Now, for the sake of time, I'm going to run through and abbreviate, just like the Amplified version amplifies it. This is going to be Paulo's abbreviated version. Okay, so follow me in the box there. Verse number 1 of Isaiah 7. Now, it came about in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not conquer it. Verse 3. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go now to meet Ahaz, you and your son Shear Jashub, at the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the fuller's field, and say to him, take care, be calm, have no fear, and do not be faint-hearted. So we have a battle situation. These kings were always going to war with each other. They were making allegiances and, you know, doing deals and then betraying one another and ripping each other off and all that kind of stuff. And they were stuck. This king of Judah was stuck because the king of Israel has made an alliance with a much, much, much bigger king. And now things are looking dodgy. But Isaiah comes out with a prophetic word. He says, thus says the Lord, now he's speaking to Ahaz, the king of Judah, thus says the Lord, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. Then verse number 10, then the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask for a sign for yourself from the Lord, make it as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. Now, these kings are going to come to war to the king of Judah. The king of Judah is not strong enough, but Isaiah hears about it in the spirit, and he stands in the gap, and he declares, he opens his mouth, and he declares, this thing is not coming to pass. He says, don't be afraid, because many times fear can unlock the gates of the enemy. That's why you must not fear. Get fear out of your life. And he has this thing, and he says, right, he says, ask for a sign. He says, you can make it. Now, this guy, Isaiah, he's a heavy, heavy prophet. He's already made the sun go back 7 steps. Anyone seen the sun go backwards? That's a big sign. I mean, there's a serious anointing on this guy, Isaiah. And it's like, he says, right now, he says, if you don't believe me, ask for a sign. Make it as high as heaven or as deep as Sheol, it's going to come to pass. And then they say, oh, no, you know, we don't want to sign. Verse 12, he says, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. And Isaiah says, okay, sunshine, we'll see. Verse 13, he says, listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, A virgin will be with child and bear a son and will call his name Emmanuel. Dude, that is a sign. This is the first time that the virgin birth is even imagined. And it comes from a battle scene where two kings are going to come up and devour the third king. But because of God's faithfulness to Judah, because of David, Isaiah rises up, stands in the gap, and says, you know, ask for a sign. You can make it as large as this or as small as this, but ask. They said, oh, well, no, we won't ask, blah, 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 blah. He said, okay, I'm going to give you a sign. A virgin is going to have a child, and they're going to call his name God with us. That's what Emmanuel means. God is with us. Dude, in any man's economy, that is a serious, serious sign. But where did it start? It started in the mouth of a prophet. Now, the Bible declares the prophethood of all believers. In the book of Joel, second chapter, I'll pour out my spirit, he says, on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Is there anyone here who isn't a son or a daughter of somebody? Thank God. You'd be a demon. Man, you'd have 50 people on you shouting, come out in Jesus' name. Yeah. So, you see, what is that? That's the prophethood of all believers. So God has given you a prophetic spirit. The Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So if you've ever testified, Lord, come into my heart, make me a brand new creature, Jesus, I give my life to you, etc., etc., then you are automatically in that prophetic lineage. Moses himself declared, he said, would that all men prophesied. Hallelujah. That's a man without a womb, and that's a man with a womb, otherwise known as womb man. Yeah, men and women alike, sons and daughters. In Galatians, the Holy Spirit through Paul nails this thing, and he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. All are one in Christ. So every one of us has, turn to your neighbor and tell them, you have a mandate to prophesy. Turn to your other neighbor and tell him, open your big mouth and prophesy. Yeah, there's something that we need to declare. There's a next level for all of us. There's a next level. There's land to occupy in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. There is occupied territory that we must occupy in Jesus' mighty name. Let's stand to our feet. Let's thank God for his word. I want us to keep this thing. I want this word to ricochet on the inside of you for weeks to come. If you do in your own spare time, look at that seventh chapter of the book of Isaiah and study it out and say, you know, Lord, I've never prophesied anything that's come to pass in the past. But right now, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus, and then declare whatever it is. Get time in the Word. This generation has been robbed by virtue of the fact that our Bibles are on our phones. I don't know, maybe get a, if you haven't got a hard copy Bible, get one. Keep it by your bed. When you wake up in the morning, let it be the first thing in your eyes. When you go to sleep at night, let it be the last thing at night that you read. Because there's things that are bigger than you that are waiting to come to pass. I know it. There's ministries that are bigger than you that are waiting to come out of your mouth. There's ideas. There's one of the great things that God has given us here in this house is a spirit of entrepreneurship, a cleansing, healing spirit. There's things that God wants to release into your life that are yet to come out of your mouth. I want you to grab this principle. The concept of the virgin birth came out of the mouth of Isaiah because it was there because of the heart of God. It came from the heart of God through the mouth of the prophet as a sign to a bunch of kings that were going to go to battle. At just random prophetic offspring. May you give birth to your prophetic offspring in the mighty name of Jesus. Just as Pastor Kofi stood and prophesied that word, why stay here till we die, and a ministry like Bismarck's was born. May the Lord do the same to you in the mighty name of Jesus. May God's greatness magnify through your own heart, through your own soul, through your own mouth. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of the prophetic that you have put into our mouths. Lord God, for those of us here that have never declared anything, put a declaration spirit on the inside of them, Heavenly Father, that they can declare their own home, that they can declare their own blessing, that they can declare a sound, happy family, a great marriage, wonderful offspring, that they can declare prosperity and the blessing of the Lord, that they can declare favor, that they can declare the outcome and the end of a matter, that it will be well with them in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, we give you the adoration for this word in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.